Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of High Velocity Radio's favorite series, the Thought Leader Radio segment. Katie Galley is with me. This is Lee Cantor. Katie, this is a very important topic today.
It is very important.
And on Thought Leader Radio, we interview the best and the brightest doing the most interesting things. And today is no exception. We have Nancy Newman. She is the founder and president of International Action Network for Gender Equity in Law, or iAngel for short. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, can you share a little bit about iAngel? How did this get started?
Well, I will say I did not start out thinking I would form a nonprofit, but a combination of factors led me to, reluctantly, I would say, to the conclusion that it had to be done. I've been an activist all my life. At age 15, I went to work for the United Farm Workers, and I saw how powerful a grassroots organization can be, and how ordinary people can come together to bring about real change. So I sought that out as a lawyer and found it in women's bar associations, both through Queen's Bench, which is the Women's Bar Association in the San Francisco Bay Area, and then as president of the National Conference of Women's Bar Associations, which is an umbrella group of women's bars around the United States. And had the experience of working together to bring about a change to promote women's rights and gender equality. I found as I got older that my tolerance for the status quo was eroding, and my desire to use my skills to make a difference was growing stronger. I didn't like reading about the horrible injustice for women around the world, heartbreaking stories of forced marriage and honor killings, institutional abuse and cruelty. And I wanted to be more involved in addressing those issues. So I looked for opportunities to do pro bono work on those issues, but couldn't find them. Found it was hard to find those kinds of opportunities. Traditional pro bono work tended to be local and needs-based, but there was a huge need for resources to work on rights across borders. So having looked for it for a number of years and not being able to find it, I thought, you know, we have a moral obligation to find a way to get pro bono lawyers involved in this work. There's a huge resource out there. Pretty much every lawyer I know believes in gender equality, and most would happily donate their time if there was an easy way for them to get involved in the cause. So we created iAngel to harness that power of pro bono legal services and connect it to activists and organizations working on the front lines of the struggle for gender equality locally, nationally, and around the world.
Now, how does an American lawyer kind of have jurisdiction in these other countries?
Well, every country has activists and organizations. So iAngel partners with NGOs, non-governmental organizations in other countries, and we work together with them to identify needs and to help them see how pro bono lawyers might be able to help them. One of the things that I found in talking with a number of nonprofits that I supported before forming iAngel was that the folks that are working on gender issues are so busy working on gender issues that they often don't have time to think about, well, how could volunteer lawyers help? How can lawyers across borders help? So certain issues, lawyers have skills that go beyond the jurisdiction where they work. It may be true that I am not admitted to practice law in Bangladesh, but I can readily understand the injustice of their laws that prohibit Hindu women from owning or inheriting property. And lawyers can do legal research. They can do comparative analysis. They can do strategic thinking. And they can provide additional resources to make the efforts to move the needle on gender equality more powerful, both here and all around the world.
Now, how around the world, like how would somebody in Bangladesh learn about iAngel, or do you reach out and see an injustice in Bangladesh and say, what are resources in Bangladesh? Like how does the give and take of the relationship?
Well, we take our cues from, we connect with organizations and activists, NGOs in other countries organically through people that we know. I have been involved in this work for a number of years, and so people that I know bring things to my attention, or they can go to our website and let us know about something that we can get involved with. Or we also, we have been involved in connecting with other women's rights NGOs at the there's an annual meeting in New York in connection with the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women, and NGOs from all over the world come to that meeting in New York every spring. We have been involved in parallel events with the other NGOs for 5 years now, and that's where organizations in other countries talk about the issues they're confronting and the initiatives that they are involved with. And we support each other. We identify needs and connect in that way. So one example of a kind of cross-border connection was just totally organic from reading about the efforts to reform child marriage laws in Zimbabwe. So I reached out to someone that I had met at a conference who was involved in women's empowerment in Zimbabwe. She connected us to a nonprofit there that was working to reform the laws on child marriage in Zimbabwe. And we asked, well, how can we help? How can U.S. lawyers help in this on this issue? And she said, well, we know what the laws are in Zimbabwe, and we're very familiar with the obstacles to reform, but it would be very helpful to have international research from the other South African developing countries concerning this issue so that we can make arguments based on the other countries' laws in the neighborhood. So we connected a global law firm, a team of pro bono lawyers, to that NGO, and they provided the research that helped help them with their initiatives to reform the laws at the legislative level. At the same time, there was a lawsuit pending going through the courts in Zimbabwe, and we got to celebrate with everyone else when that led to a decision at the highest court that struck down the laws that allowed child marriage in Zimbabwe a couple of years ago. And it was a very interesting opinion. We had educational events about it here in San Francisco because it showed how all these efforts of women's rights advocates, research done, global research, law reviews all over that contributed to the legal analysis in the opinion that struck down those laws. So it's like a drip, drip, drip of efforts from people all over the world. And then one day the bucket tips over and the law changes. So it's very exciting to be part of that kind of effort.
Right, because those changes, they seem impossible. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's that gradually, then suddenly.
Exactly. It is not, it is not a straight line to the promised land in this work. The path is winding and difficult. The challenges are many, and we're seeing a retrenchment now that is distressing. Over the last few decades, there have been enough changes worldwide that the needle on gender equality has been moving forward. It hasn't been moving as fast as we would like, but it has been moving. And in last year's World Economic Forum's report on gender equality globally, it was the first time that the needle actually went backwards. So progress was being undone globally on women's rights issues. And that's very sad and unfortunate, but it means we just have to work harder and realize that it's a long game. We're playing for the future, and we have to keep going and celebrate the victories that we have won and do everything we can to hold the line.
Right, and be
and
diligent.
Try to make progress.
Now, you mentioned a couple focus areas, the child marriage and the property. Are there other focus areas?
Sure. we have our work involves three basic focus areas around gender equality. The first is women's health and reproductive rights. The second is economic equality and empowerment. And the third is peace and security. With, you know, reproductive rights, of course, women and girls can never be free or equal without the fundamental right to personal autonomy, to make their own decisions about whether and when to bear children and have access to safe and affordable health care. Economic equality and empowerment concerns legal rights of women and girls to independence, to being able to financially support themselves, to have to work work on land rights, inheritance rights. You know, in many countries, women are still unable to inherit property or own property, or there are unfair restrictions. That includes child marriage is another issue of economic equality empowerment, and as well as equal rights in the workplace. And the area of peace and security involves leadership issues, civic engagement, and just ensuring that women's voices are heard, that women have access to leadership roles in their communities and throughout civil society.
Now, you mentioned that being an activist kind of started pretty young for you. Do you see young people embracing activism?
I do. Actually, you know, it's a source of hope and sustenance for folks like me. I'm not as young as I used to be. And, you know, when we see the retrenchment and some of the really harsh and regressive policies from the current administration, I have hope in the next generation. You know, I think that too much progress has been made, that even with power and of the levers of government, I don't think it will be possible. You know, it won't be possible to get women out of the workforce. You know, I don't think the new generation will tolerate retrenchment on marriage equality. You know, so. They have grown up in a new world with an internet and with access to information and in many ways in a social culture that celebrates diversity, and I am hopeful that the new generation will carry on the work and preserve the gains and make more gains. We are all impatient for a more just and egalitarian world, but I've come to realize that, you know, this is not something I will see necessarily in my lifetime, but my job is to make the path, make the day of equality come sooner rather than later.
Now, you mentioned that the pendulum, I guess, swings back and forth in some countries. But overall, are you optimistic that globally that progress is being made and will continue to be made?
I'm optimistic overall on a long horizon. You know, I believe in my heart, as the saying goes, that the arc of history, while long, bends towards justice. Sometimes it's hard to see that bend in different different eras, but I think there are far more of us, far more good people who believe in equality and dignity and human rights, and who are committed to fighting the forces of discrimination, than those on the other side. I think those on the other side are a greedy few who want to manipulate laws and exert power to hold down half of the world's population. And ultimately, they will not succeed because there are more of us than there are of them, and we are not going anywhere. Giving up is not an option. So, yes, I'm optimistic in the long term. I'm realistic about short-term setbacks, but, you know, we've already come very far in my lifetime. The generation before me had very few women lawyers. And now, you know, when I was in law school, half of our class was women. So there are certain things that progress moves forward, and we're pushing, and there's a global community of those who are pushing this forward. And I'm excited and proud to be part of that community working on those issues.
You mentioned early on that when you were asking people most people are for gender equity, it's not a hard thing to get people to say, yes, I'm for that. Are you finding it's easier and easier to get them to take action and to get involved with the cause?
I think the opposite. I think it's easier to get, as you say, most people do believe in gender equality. and I think seeing what's going on at the federal level and seeing the retrenchment has created activists where there were none before. Where there were fewer before. We are seeing more interest across the country and even across the world in activism, in people standing up, ordinary people, and deciding to get involved. This is the job of building a fairer world is not one person's job. It's everybody's job. The future belongs to all of us, and we have an obligation to build the world that we want to see. So I'm encouraged. I think that even as there are backlashes, and even as people in power are trying to undo so much decades of progress, the forces of equality and justice are standing up and linking arms and working together. And that's really an exciting thing to see.
Now, for you, gender equality was an issue that, I guess has taken a big portion of your energy, and your life is dedicated to this. Do you have any advice for younger people out there to find, how did you find your path, and how did you align it with your skills? How did that come about? And do you have any advice for people that are doing, for them to find, they want to be activists, but they don't know which cause is the one that they should kind of dedicate their energy towards?
I think it kind of works in reverse. You say they want to be activists, but they don't know which cause. I think the cause comes first. I think people see injustice and they want to correct it. They see unfairness. These issues that we are working on are not these are not angels on the head of a pin issues. These are not abstract. Reproductive rights are fundamental. With the proposed change in the Supreme Court, you know, Roe v. Wade is in jeopardy. And women have experience with making difficult choices and having to make choices that are very personal in their lives. And I think people will be motivated by the things that matter to them, personal rights, dignity. Very, you know, they don't want the government interfering with those things. And they're going to find a way to become involved. I'm a lawyer, so lawyering is the skill that I have. And so I want to use that skill in that way. I want to use that skill to advocate and to write and to strategize and to, you know, build organizational capability. But as I said, everybody can get involved. There's lots of work to do. And everyone has friends, everyone has skills, everyone has a responsibility to build the world that they want to see.
Now, in your case, you could have said, okay, I want to focus on gender equality here in San Francisco, or you could have said America, but you said, I'm going to take on the world. Right? I mean, all of that is so. Your scope of work is very large, and then in order to pull that off, you have to have a network of people, you know, that believe what you believe and that want to help in this global manner. I mean, that was a big objective.
That's right. But, you know, I will say that the world gets smaller when you build a global network. I was so lucky that in the course of my work with the NCWBA, that was a national organization, and I started getting involved in global women's rights work. And I just, because I thought, well, we're national, why not reach out to women lawyers in other countries? And I connected with Ethiopian women lawyers. I looked them up. I connected with them because I wanted to get involved in an issue that I had read about. And I met an amazing woman activist also through the NCWBA, Stella Odife, who's now on our advisory board, who is a women's rights lawyer and activist in Nigeria. And I met these people, and they are so inspirational and capable and dedicated. And I find that, yes, you know, global gender equality is a big issue, and it is a tough challenge. But we who work in this field have so much more in common than we have differences, that getting to work with these amazing activists and lawyers in other countries on these issues is empowering. It's sustaining. The more that people have an opportunity to work on global issues and meet people in other countries who are dealing with these issues and work together with them to bring about change, the more they will want to do it. It's a renewable resource. Give lawyers in San Francisco or Boston or New York or wherever an opportunity to work with gender activists in other countries, and they will want to keep doing it, and that will build more power. They will tell their friends, and their friends will tell their friends, and it will be an amazing, powerful force for change.
Now, to have that energy and to be at sometimes frustrated with the speed or velocity that the change is occurring, how do you celebrate the victories when the victories do come? How globally do you celebrate?
How globally do we celebrate? I think we share in the victories with our sisters in struggle. I'm not sure if your question is on a micro level or the macro level.
Well, I mean, at some time the mouse has to get the cheese, right? You have to have some wins in order to keep everybody energized that this is, you know, so you don't lose hope or faith that this is something.
Well, so I think telling the stories. So, when you're dealing with a gender issue or something on a global scale, there are statistics and there are stories. And stories are invariably more powerful than statistics, and we tell the stories. We tend to hear in the news about all the bad things. We hear about murders and deaths and injustice and war and all of, we hear about terrorism but we don't hear as much about the bravery and the courage and the resistance and the work that people are doing every day. So we try to tell those stories. You know, one of our honorees at a past event and a speaker was the professor Karima Ben-Noon, who is a law professor at UC Davis, and she is also the UN rapporteur on cultural rights. And she has written a book about that celebrates these people, the stories of activists resisting Islamic fundamentalism all around the world. They are inspiring stories. They are remarkable people. And we all need to hear about those stories and appreciate all the things that so many are doing that around the world to promote gender equality and to fight the good fight, because they don't get the coverage that the horror and the cruelty and the injustice tend to get on the national stage.
Now, iAngel was founded in 2013. Was there a story that was kind of the impetus for the genesis of this group?
There were lots of stories. There were the stories that I read about in the paper of continuing injustice that made me, and coupled with the fact that I was having these one experiences working with Stella or working with lawyers in other countries on these issues that was so exciting, that made me want to do more of it. And, I didn't start out thinking I would do this, but I looked, I couldn't find an organization that would allow me to use my skills as a lawyer to get involved in gender equality globally. I looked for years, I guess after looking for many years, I thought, okay, well, either I give up or I guess I need to start this myself, because it's immoral that there is so much talent, so much energy, so much intelligence in this pool of all these lawyers who care about this, that we can't afford to let it go to waste. We have to find a way to deploy it on this struggle. And, for me, it's inoculation against heartbreak. When I read the stories and hear about injustice of one woman who is killed because she was working, a working woman, and kidnapped in the night in Afghanistan and hung because she was a working woman. I mean, these stories stick with you. And I vow that I'm not going to let these things go unanswered. I'm going to do what I can to mobilize as much power as I can to address injustice and inequality, wherever it is.
Well, it's a gift that this cause has somebody like you behind it that has dedicated a good portion of your life to trying to, you know, right some of these wrongs. Is there anything that our listeners can do to help? Like, what's the best way for someone to help?
Oh, well, there are so many ways to help. If you're a lawyer, there, you know, get join us as a lawyer, be part of our network. We have a website at www.iangel.org. We welcome anybody to come, and lawyers or skilled volunteers. There's a lot to do, and we're very small. We have very limited resources. Donating is always welcome. Even a small monthly donation can make a huge difference. So again, iangel.org. And spread the word. We are not very well known, but we're actively working on many fronts to promote equality and security and essential human dignity for women and girls. So we hope people will visit our website and like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And whatever you do, be sure to vote. Make sure your family and friends vote too. You know, the future belongs to all of us. And we all have a responsibility to do whatever we can do to build a world of justice and peace.
Well, Nancy Newman, founder and president of iAngel, thank you so much for sharing your story today. We look forward to learning more about you and your group. And again, the website is the letter iangel.org. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, this is Lee Cantor for Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on Thought Leader Radio.
Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.